The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. From the Gospel according to St. John, the 20th. Woman, Jesus said, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. You may be seated. Good morning. Just will not do today, will it? We say Christ is risen, and we respond, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. This morning I heard, just to get into the swing of things, three times Georg Friedrich Handel's Alleluia Chorus. It is this glorious piece of music that translates the mood of this day. And he shall reign forever and ever. At Martin Luther's funeral, his academic colleague delivered a speech. Philip Black Dirt, or Melanchthon in Latin, Schwarz Erd in German. Little Philip stood there and he said, here is Christ seated at the right hand of God the Father, ruling the whole church on earth, giving leaders to the church, starting with Adam and going on with Seth, and then with Enoch, and Methuselah, and then Noah, and Abraham, and so he comes all the way up to Martin Luther, and now he took him away from us. Well, throughout history, God raises up leaders in his church to proclaim the gospel. And then Philip Melanchthon says something very important. That applies to you, not only from among the learned does he take leaders for his people, not only among the bishops, but often he takes from the laity to oppose the bishops when they go wrong. The word of God is what counts, not titles, pastor this or doctor that. How comforting is that? The power is in the word of God. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our enthusiasm comes from the subjectivity of the thing. This applies to me. Because he rose, I shall rise again too. How comforting is this to my loved ones who worry about my health, my age, my end, when they discover and realize there is no end. There is no end. There is only eternity. Therefore, there is no more weeping. There is no reason for weeping. We weep for a reason, but you take away the reason for our tears. There are no more tears. But yes, it is very difficult to see through the tears. We might even confuse the appearance of our Lord through the midst of tears. Looks like the gardener to me, said Mary. The pain in Mary's heart was back. It began, of course, with the news that he had been arrested in the garden of Gethsemane, and he did not react. What's happening? And then he is taken to Caiaphas' palace, and then to Pilate's palace, and then sent across town to Herod's palace, back to Pilate's palace, and then condemned. And he still did not react. He still did not walk out free. He still did not defeat the enemy according to her hopes. After all, she had been there. Seven demons were possessing that poor girl from Magdala. Read it for yourself. It's in Luke 8. And Jesus expelled seven demons from her. What those demons did to her body, to her life, we don't know because Luke skips that part. But you can well imagine how degrading the possession of seven demons might be on a young and pretty lady from the port city of Magdala. And Jesus freed her from those seven demons. He was powerful. That was her hope. And now he had been defeated. He was dead. She saw him die on the cross. She was there with his mother and Salome and other Marys, and she heard that cry, "It is finished." That was painful. So she goes while it's yet dark and sees the unthinkable. The stone is rolled away. That's terrible news. You know what crawls out there in the garden at night? Looking for corpses? Incredible, isn't it? The body was unprotected. And then she goes closer and sees that the body is missing. It had already been carried away. Who carried him away? There was no closure. We make much of closure when people are kidnapped. They are not located. Finally, they are. And the family said, "Now we can have closure. We put his body, her body, to rest. Then there is closure." Christians have closure, all right, but not closure of the grave, not closure of the emotions, closure of life, closure of a history. And I believe in the resurrection of the body. That is our narrative. It goes through the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. There is no despair. Death has been swallowed up by victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory? The victory is given to us by Christ, the crucified and resurrected. So Mary is standing there in utter confusion and a sense of total loss. It was a first for her. She had never seen a tomb that was left open, a tomb that was empty, that's worst yet. But animals have been there. There was plenty of reason in her heart, from her perspective, to weep, all right. First, she had been freed by Jesus. Now, he had failed. Jesus taught her about the love of God, the forgiveness of sin, a new life, a new beginning, freed from everything that held her captive, that tied her to her sins and to her condemnation as a sinner, an unrighteous person before God. Now she was free. All of a sudden, he who declared her free is M.I.A., missing in action. Jesus had spoken of heaven. He was love incarnate, the one and only from the Father. Now, Jesus was missing until the reason for weeping is taken away. She weeps. And then Jesus comes and says to her, "Mary." And she says, "Rabboni, is that you?" and she wants to hug him. And he says, do not touch me because I have not yet gone to the Father. The body that came out of the grave is a spiritual body. It is a wonderful body. We do not know how exactly that is, but it's a million times better than you and I can even imagine with this limited amount of neurons in our cranium. We need special spiritual eyes and spiritual perception to comprehend what this means, a spiritual body. The Renaissance artists, painters, I think give us the wrong idea about the spiritual body. They paint spirits in transparent, diaphanous tones of pink and light blue, of light clouds, and the spirits are hovering about. I don't think so. This spiritual body appeared to the disciples on the night in which he resurrected, and he said, Shalom. And he said, see, it is I. And Jesus appeared to them again with a week later when Thomas was with them, and he said, Thomas, you doubt it is I? Here, put your finger in my wounds. Stretch out your hand. Touch me. See, it is I. And Thomas went and said, my God and my Lord, it is you. And a week later after that, Jesus ate breakfast, fish and bread with them. A spiritual body eating, feasting. That is the marvel of a new spiritual life. But Mary experienced what you and I experience. The world wants to hide Jesus. The world wants to dilute Jesus as one option. We know there is only one Lord and giver of eternal life. The rest is delusion. And I make a little parenthesis. I do not usually read the news on the day I preach a sermon, but this morning it was especially joyful for 137 Sri Lankans who were killed while they were saying, the Lord is risen, he is risen indeed. A suicide bomber went off in the church. 137 of us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, were instantly translated into heaven. The world advances spiritual plurality, like plurality or options in everything. Try to buy a car. Hundreds and hundreds of options out there. SUV or sedan or a pickup. Blue, red, or black, or white. Try to buy a pair of tennis shoes. It is dizzying the amount of options you have. And not too long ago when we talked about Jesus as the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven, only one. You know that in New Berlin there is a store that has 599 types of bread, all with different names on different levels in the shelf. 599 options to buy bread. And I always feel frustrated when the phone vibrates and I say, hi, honey. And she says, could you bring this bread home? A name. How simple would it be if they were numbered from 1 to 199? Bring home a number 38. Here it is. No, there is all this option, and I have to read, analyze, see if it is true gluten-free, if it is low in calories, high in fiber, all of that stuff. But there is only one bread of life, which you will soon receive for the forgiveness of sins, so that you are declared righteous in the sight of the Almighty Judge. He will come down, and he will come back to judge the living and the dead. You and I have the privilege to take this Christ and walk him out the door and let him shine in the darkness of the world. How special is that? Let's do it with gusto. Let's lean in and make a difference in the proclamation of the gospel, not only in New Berlin and Waukesha County, but also in Wisconsin and downtown Milwaukee through several agencies that we support there. And throughout the whole world, in 13 countries to which our church sends emissaries, telling the world the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.